What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
Billy, in particular, with Maroon being physically engaged, also very vocal on the bench as well.
For sure. You know, I was thinking about that throughout the game. When you hear a guy like that speaking, everybody listens. Everybody takes care of what they're going to based off of his words, just from his experience and his leadership. So he's a great resource for all of us and a great leader as well.
Welcome back. Hour two of Sunday Skate with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. I'm Scott McLaughlin. Let's get to some phone calls here. We'll start with Tom in Boston. It says he's calling about Jim Montgomery. What do you got, Tom?
Two quick things real first. Your guy Brian, is he still sick of Jake DeBrusk? Is he done with him? Two, the USA chants are dumb. I don't like them. And my real question is, I'm glad they're not playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, because I think John Cooper would outcoach Montgomery, and I think last night Sheldon Keefe proved he can't outcoach a wet paper bag. He didn't even hold up three fingers to say penalties or whatever, like Paul Maurice did last year. So I guess that's my question. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Scott, you agree with him about the USA chant. Scott was losing his mind. He's like, this is so dumb. There's so many players from so many different countries.
I just think it's silly. Like, beyond that, beyond, like, obviously, some of the Bruins' best players are from other countries and from Canada. Also, just to think, like, the energy should be focused on Bruins. Like, Bruins' chance, not USA. Like, you're not watching a USA game.
No, so, I'm with you 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
1,000,000%.
It's silly.
I remember when we played Montreal and they would do it, and it was just like, what?
So, yeah. to the other parts, I guess to get to the part about coaching and the matchup, doesn't it kind of look like now Tampa Bay would have been the harder matchup? Which, by the way, the Panthers and the Lightning play today at 12:30. They have that early game. That's going to be really interesting to watch. But I think that Florida might have accidentally screwed themselves by beating the Leafs at the end of the season. I think that's not an easy matchup for them. And I think that it might have worked out perfectly for the Bruins, the way that things played out on the last day.
We got a ways to go. This could be a 5-1 the other way next. Like, let's not jinx it, or like, I'm not superstitious in any way, but this is far from over. The Leafs could not have played any worse.
Yeah, no,
they could not have played any worse.
And they didn't have Nylander.
We've got so much hockey to play here. This is
playoff series are all about the adjustments.
Correct.
You know, in game, but also game to game. So, like, we'll see what the Leafs are going to do. They're not going to come out and do the exact same thing that they just did in game one, obviously. Yeah. Like, and, you know, by the way, we haven't even mentioned it yet, but huge loss for the Leafs not having William Nylander, mm-hmm. their second leading scorer, who played every game all regular season, but because it's the playoffs, we have no idea what actually happened, but apparently something happened either their last game or the next day. He apparently like woke up, not something was off, and then he doesn't practice. He's not at morning skate. He doesn't play in game one. We have no idea if he plays in game two. But that's a huge loss. So, yeah, we'll see whether it's line changes, different defense pairings. I was at the Leafs practice on Friday, and it's like they have like 11 defensemen out there. Like they have so many defensemen. It's like, you know, you'd prefer some of them be better than they are, but I'm assuming there's going to be at least a couple lineup changes over there. And you know, maybe they try to get Matthews away from Lindholm and Carlo more. Like,
well, to the caller's point about the coaching, I think it's a great point. Keith's got to figure it out. He has to figure it out. He cannot, if he doesn't, he got smoked in game one, and he's got to pick up his shorts and come back out and figure out a way to get his team both with personnel and with emotion and with in-game. Even pulling the, why is he pulling the goalie? Why is he pulling the goalie 4-1? Like if it's the other side, I was losing my mind, and I was happy about it in watching the game. Why is he pulling a goalie 4-1 to let Trent Frederick get his first playoff goal and feel good about himself? Made no sense at all. So Keith's in one right now, and I agree 100% that John Cooper, Paul Maurice, and Jim Montgomery have the upper hand right now in the Atlantic Division on Sheldon Keefe. He's got to prove himself in game two and game three with adjustments.
Yeah, and you're still tuned into the way that Toronto fans think, because you were saying you got your group chat with all your...
Listen, I played there. I dealt with most of the media that are still there. I know how it works. My buddies all live there. They're Leaf fans that are crazy people that don't get it.
And what are they texting you about Sheldon Keefe today, yesterday?
Oh, no. It's more of their anger is at Nylander. So that leads into this.
Their anger is at Nylander?
Where is Nylander? How does Nylander not play? Why is Nylander sitting out? How do you miss a game in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Would Brad Marchand miss this game no matter what his injury is? Oh, yeah. It is fully directly at Nylander. Where did he go? How does he play the last game of the regular season? And then not the first game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't care if his groin's falling off. He should be out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, oh, yeah, it's directed at Nylander. And that, it's a big point and a big piece of, he had 97 points, and he just doesn't play game one. He better be hurt.
Well, he hasn't missed a game due to injury in 7 years.
It's crazy.
He's missed a couple games with illness, but...
So what, and what, he played the entire game the other night. What happened that he can play for 7 straight years, like you said, and not game one? So, again, something, a distraction. They are going to be all over Keith about this afternoon in his presser. He is going to have to answer directly to Nylander. He's going to have to blow it off, but I promise you that is a big deal there, and I can't imagine if we don't see him in game two. Holy smokes, it'll be fascinating. So that's going to be an adjustment for the Bruins to deal with a huge pushback from the Leafs, but also with their lineup personnel defensively, and I have to expect Nylander in.
I'm a little surprised by that, just because like you don't know what it is, so it's hard. In my mind, it's hard to be critical if like something could be very wrong, and sometimes it's not like a, you know.
But that
like
would be rational thinking.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't get it.
I know, and like it's kind of especially harsh because he's generally been the one member of that core four that has stepped up in the playoffs. Like usually the criticism after some of these postseason disappointments for them has been more towards Matthews, Marner, Tavares. So, you know, now if Nylander's coming into the crosshairs too, it's like, it's the guns are really aimed at everyone up there.
Like the Spider-Man.
Like now no one's safe. Yeah.
I could go, like, this could be a whole show, is my group chat with my buddies. but poignantly at 8:44 p.m., there was a message sent, he better have a broken leg. So we didn't even get out of the first period, and that was being said from the northern regions of North America.
Oh, wow. Also, we know we're not going to get anything from Sheldon Keefe, because he on Friday specifically told us that Brad Tree Living, the Toronto's GM, told him not to give any injury updates on a day-to-day basis. apparently, you have to go to Timothy Liljegren to get the updates on what's going on with Nylander, because he told reporters yesterday that it's going to be tough to replace Willie, but we'll figure it out. We always find a way to have guys step off. So,
he didn't get the memo
about not saying anything.
No, and he had a weird game, too. Like, he got laid out by Maroon. He was the guy who made the diving attempt to block that pass over to Beecher that didn't work. I don't know. He's having a weird series already.
I usually like Liljegren, too, as a player. But yeah, there were a couple times in game one where it was like, oh, he's not having a fun time out there.
No.
Let's go to Jay down in North Carolina here, who has a thought on the rotation or playing Ullmark. Good morning, Jay. Do we have Jay?
No Jay.
He may have gone away, but he's on.
All right. Well, we can maybe we'll come back to Jay. We can go to Bill in New Hampshire, though.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
No problem.
I think you start Ullmark and you don't look back. And the reason for it is, both goalies are outstanding. I mean, they can both steal a game and they can both, put up ducks. Even though these guys, after they win games, they have this, little love fest after the game. They're both highly, highly competitive, not just with the other teams, but with each other. And, for that reason, I think it's wise to start Ullmark. They're both really, really good problems to have. And you just don't look back. Like I said, both guys can win you a game and both guys can lose you the game. So it's kind of a flip of the coin. So go with Ullmark, call it a day. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. I think we can go back to Jay here too, right on the same topic. Sorry, Jay, we had you waiting for a while there.
Not a problem. Listen, good show, folks. A damn good show. I appreciate listening to you. But it's the cliche, if it works, don't fix it. The rotation works. Ullmark deserves his chance. And as I say, they're both highly competitive. The game is won in the goal. The Stanley Cup game is won in the goal. And the Bruins have the finest tandem in the Hockey League today. But as far as the – I love the way they position themselves – not to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, because the Tampa Bay Lightning has won two Stanley Cups. They know what it takes to win. Good luck to the Florida Panthers. It's not going to be a pushover, and I don't really know that the Panthers will win that series. But back to you, folks. Always wanted to say that. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jay. There you go. Two pro rotation calls.
Yeah, they're calling. I can't wait. I can't wait. I have Tampa beating Florida in seven, by the way.
I have Tampa in that series, too.
I have Florida, but I think that's going to be a great series. That's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup for the Florida Panthers, and they have to be careful taking penalties, power plays. Very interesting.
Yeah,
you got the highest penalized team versus the best power plays. Yeah. Sergachev's
back. The LTIR. I love the LTIR this season. That's like my new, I'm searching everybody who's been injured. I want to watch Derek Forbert play. I want to watch Sergachev play. I want to see Mark Stone play.
Mark Stone clear to practice in full.
Love it. Oh, it's just miraculous how every year these miracles come to life.
That's going to be a great series, too. Vegas and Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is great.
That if you're Dallas, you're like, wow, we finished as the number one seed in the West, and we get rewarded with Vegas, who went out and got Hurdle and Hanifin at the deadline, and has Stone coming off LTIR, and yeah, like
it's not an easy matchup. Plus,
no.
They're defending their title. So,
on the topic of the Bruins ending up with what I didn't really think was much more favorable of a matchup, because I thought the Bruins would have a 5-on-5 edge over Tampa. But certainly the consensus is that the Leafs are the better matchup. Do you guys think there was any chance, anything in the Bruins' minds, those last two regular season games? I strongly believe that they were not purposely tanking. But does it creep into their minds at all that, like, hey, you know what? If this game doesn't go our way and we end up with Tampa, then, that's not a bad thing.
No. I think it's hard to get up for those last couple of games. I think we saw it even with L.A. and Vegas. They, you know, like you saw it up until the last second. They're trying to blow games, and I say that facetiously because is that they're playing Chicago and Anaheim, and they can't win. Like you're just looking past. It's so hard to get up for it. They got up for the Pittsburgh game. And they talked themselves into that one because of Sid and Malkin, and they just got themselves up. But then they're on the road again for another 2 days and just couldn't muster it. So I think I've never heard a team say we want to play one team or another. I think you just know you're into one. I think you know that if you do start thinking that way, you're going to get pumped by the team that you think you want to play. I think they were very happy that they're in the playoffs, knew it was going to be hard no matter what, and just couldn't get up for the last couple of games. If they really were tanking, they wouldn't have shot Ottawa 23-2 in the third. They would have just kept going away. So I've never seen it. And you're told at a young age, but you're especially told when you get to the NHL that you take a shift off in this league and you're going to get hurt, you're going to get injured, and you're going to get humbled one way or another. So I just don't see that happening. I'm still not convinced that it was the right matchup. I'm still not convinced that it was an easier matchup. We got a long way to go here.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, look, even if some of the Bruins' top players were like, hey, I'm just trying to get to the finish line here, guys further down the lineup are still fighting for jobs. They're fighting to be in the game one lineup. So I didn't buy that at all. I know Some of the shows on both stations this week, quite frankly, were almost straight up stating it as fact.
Yeah, right?
Like the Bruins
tanked
for Toronto, and it's like,
yeah, you can't do that.
That's so disconnected from reality. Like pro athletes just don't think that way.
No, and coaches don't allow you're right. Like it was like it's been like pronounced that it was this is what happened, and like craziness.
All right, we got to get to a break here, but see another call up here. You can join us, 617-779-7937. Text in 37937. Thoughts on the goalies, the series going forward, the way the Bruins played. Do you think it is going to be a short series? Do you think this is going to end up being long? All that, Bridget has you trending, and we'll be right back.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get 3 seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Non-stop hockey talk. It's Sunday Skate on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Jake, for you, how good did it feel to kind of reset for the playoffs and then get started like this in game one?
Yeah, obviously it was a focus. I was excited to get this going. It felt like we were in training camp with them out of practice days. But, you know, I think that obviously didn't like my season. It was pretty disappointing for myself. But at this point in time in the year, we have a chance to go for the ultimate goal, and that's all that really matters. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where obviously it went well tonight. You know, it's exactly what I wanted to do in that sense. But, you know, playing against these guys before, I know it's going to be a long series, and that you got to keep that going. Obviously can't keep, can't keep production going the same way. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of playing the right way. And obviously reading off, you know, Marshy and CeCe, and definitely nice to capitalize, gets the confidence up. But this time of year is all about staying even keeled, to be honest with you.
Jake, what goals did you set for yourself coming into this postseason?
To win.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Crew. And you just heard both me and Bridget.
That wasn't quite the full answer from... I had to follow up because, obviously, you know, he gave me the to win, and I was like, no, well, like, specifically you, what do you want to do? And then he gave a little bit better of an answer, but...
No, but I liked that answer. I mean, we had to cut it off just because it would have been too long of a clip, but I did like it that that was the first thing he said, like, asked about goals, and he just says to win. Yeah, we haven't really talked about DeBrusque yet, but we... should, so let's do that. Because he struggled down the stretch. He had 1 point in the Bruins' last 10 games of the regular season. No, it's no secret. You need secondary scoring. You need DeBrusque to step up. He's one of those guys. You're not going to win this series if it's all Pasternak and you're just relying on him to score. So who else is going to step up? Well, game one, it's Jake DeBrusque. And he's done it against Toronto before. In the playoffs, obviously that was a while ago. That was very early in his career, but what a game. I mean, he sets up Carlo's goal. That's 5-on-5 to make it 2-0. Nice play on the power play to score his first goal to make it 3-0. Just wheeling through the circle and snapping a good shot past Samsonov. Some help from a Morgan Geeky screen on that one. And then his second goal again on the power play. And he's just, at the net front, and the, you know, nice play by McAvoy and Marchand to set it up, but that's exactly what you needed from him. And I think, listen, getting off to a good start is huge for everyone, obviously, but it feels like, especially for DeBrusque, like, you heard it there. You know, he wasn't happy with his regular season, nor should he have been. It was too inconsistent. The point totals weren't where he wanted in a contract year. But excellent start. You know, let's see if it continues, but perfect game one for him.
Perfect answer, perfect self-awareness in that he didn't have a good season. He knows he can make a lot of money. He can make a lot of money here over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And I like that he leaned into that. I like that he's positive in that, and I, of course, you like it when he gets going, because every time he scores a goal, you feel, okay, now he's going to score 6 in a row. That's just kind of the streaky type player he's been. So great start. We talked a lot over in the previews. I talked a lot. That line has to find ways to score. They're going to be up against the Matthews line, and they have to, you know, play them even. And certainly to begin, they're up on them. So. Great start, great job by Jake, and if he continues to bring energy, the Bruins are in a good spot.
Yeah, taking the accountability, being, you know, just being honest about his thoughts on the regular season, you see a lot of growth in him personally, in how he's handled the media from the trade request situation to now. And so in terms of how he was able to turn it around after, you know, going cold in the last stretch of the regular season, it feels like in the playoffs he always finds a way to go back to the hot side of things, and he's been good against Toronto in his career and this season as well. And his goals came from hard work that he did before he even put those in. And Montgomery after the game also said, you know, he's getting rewarded for things that he's been doing right the whole season. It does have an element of that to it, where it's not that he took the season off and was not trying, because he's doing other things away from the puck, and, or, you know, winning battles along the boards that you know, he's not necessarily getting any points, but he's starting plays or he's making steals. And I never at one point this season thought that he just was checked out.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some playoff series where he's gone cool as well. So, like, the streakiness has been there at times in the playoffs. You know, 2019 Stanley Cup final, he had one goal. The Islanders series in 21, in the second round, I think he had 0 points in that series. So, it's happened, but he's also, you know, even last year, he was good in that series. Like, he was not part of the problem. I think he had 7 points in that series against Florida. So we've seen him do it, and he steps up here. And two of the goals coming on the power play, fascinating how suddenly the Bruins power play is going, because we've both talked about it in podcast form. We didn't talk about it a ton last week, but they've split up these units, you know, for the first time in forever, at least a long, long time. Pastrnak and Marchand are on two different units, you know, and the last game of the regular season, it's the new Pastrnak unit with Shattenkirk at the point, Zacha, Heinen, and either, you know, Van Riemsdyk when he was in, but now it's Maroon Netfront. That was the unit that got going, where you're like, okay, that unit has better movement. They scored in that Ottawa game. Now you get to game one of the playoffs, and it's the other new-look unit that scores twice, with the one with Marchand on it and McAvoy at the point, DeBrusk net front, and then Coyle and Danton Heinen to round – or no, sorry, Heinen's the other unit. Coyle and Morgan Geeky to round out this unit. And they score twice. So now it's like all this debate over what do you do with the power play and do you have to reunite McAvoy, Marchand, and Pastrnak at some point. And instead it just looks like you have a 1A, 1B situation that's working where, hey, they're each going to get a minute and it almost doesn't matter which one starts. You know, that game last night, early on, it was the Pastrnak unit was starting the power play. By the end of the game, it was the Marchand-McAvoy unit was getting the first minute. But all of a sudden, they're both working. They're both moving the puck, and Montgomery keeps talking about converging to the net instead of, you know, just staying out wide. And maybe it was just the wake-up call they needed. Maybe they might have done it on their own, knowing the playoffs are around the corner, but this is clearly working for the power play right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is the Maple Leafs penalty kill is the magic elixir for everybody's power play woes. Certainly the Bruins, because come playoff time, they cannot stop them. It's wild what those numbers look like. Just 18-19 again. It's pointless to go back. It was pre-COVID. Like, it doesn't have any bearing, but it is amazing to rip off 40% again last night after struggling the way they have down the stretch. So, it was very evenly balanced. I like the fact that it saves McAvoy. He can play more 5-on-5 minutes by being on this second unit. Curious, and I hope, at least with the Leafs, you don't need to go back, because it feels like it has a good rhythm.
Yeah, and the Bruins' power play, like we mentioned, was successful. Bruins' penalty kill looked good, even when they had Lindholm and Carlo in the box at the same time. At one point, you're like, okay, this is kind of like a very tricky situation when you have your two strongest penalty killers at this point in the box. But Razor, I'm curious if you had anything that you saw last night that you didn't like about the Bruins, and, you know, were there corrections that you saw possible for game two, or did they play a complete enough game where you're mostly just thinking, all right, that there was enough positives there. Everything else was just like minor.
No, I think they didn't even manage the puck much better still. The penalty at the end of the first period is completely because they're messing around with the puck at the blue line 4-on-4. There's two or three opportunities in the first period to get pucks out. They didn't. They got away with it, but they could have easily been down 2-1 in that first period because of not managing pucks properly. Don't try and make plays to the middle. Little bit of, again, Toronto's going to give you their opportunity. You're going to get opportunities. You don't have to force it. And I thought they did a little bit still, even in last night's game. Now, once it went to 4-0, it was just kind of on cruise control. But I thought in the first period they could have managed the puck even better, and especially at the blue line. So I think there's still a lot of, again, I know I have to know that Toronto's going to push back. If they don't, shame on me, but I just, they're going to be better, and the Bruins have to up their level as well.
Were you surprised that really the only pushback that they had in game one was the start? To start the third, they had a decent push. They scored the goal, but then, you know, you see another momentum shift. Bruins take it back. Were you surprised there wasn't more of a pushback and response in game one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't believe how bad they played. I can't believe how bad they played. So I just don't. They have too many good high-end talent that shouldn't happen again, but we'll see.
Yeah, and we talk about DeBrusque and his importance stepping up all up and down the lineup for the Bruins. Like, you look at the importance of depth in the playoffs, and the Bruins get the first goal from their fourth line. You know, Maroon sets the tone physically really all night. Beecher, Jim Montgomery said, you know, played his best game as a pro, and I would have to agree with that. Like, not just the goal, but he made some good plays in the D zone to get pucks out. He was good on the penalty kill. Yeah, a couple good keep-ins with steals in the offensive zone. Like, he was all over the place. The third line, Lauko, Geeky, and Frederick, maybe the kind of the quieter line overall, at least in terms of chances. But Lauko and Frederick both had five hits, so they brought it physically. And then in the third period, Bridget, what you're talking about, where the Maple Leafs are starting to make a push and they cut it to 4-1, it's that third line that ends up swinging the momentum back to the Bruins. Geeky throws a huge hit on Robertson on the forecheck. And then that sets up a minute-plus offensive zone possession for the Bruins, and eventually Lauko draws a penalty. Bruins go to the power play, and, like, that's pretty much the game at that point. So that, even if, like, you know, they weren't getting chances earlier in the game, that line steps up when it matters and has the energy in the third period.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that Montgomery made the right roster decision to not have Van Riemsdyk in instead of Beecher or Lauko, because I think that both Beecher and Lauko brought things to that game that were important, and they're faster. They're playing with a lot of intensity. After the fact, after seeing how it worked out, it feels like that was the right choice.
It, certainly. And now it's on those two guys to – every game you have to take a step up the ladder. Every game gets harder as these playoffs go. So the key, and I'll be watching very intently, is – does Beecher have another gear? Does Lauko have another gear? Because they all stepped up. It's a great point that everybody brought up their level just a little bit. Marshy talked about it after the game. Everybody needs to bring the level up a little bit more. And now, again, the beauty of the playoffs is you have to match the other teams. The other team loses, they go up two rungs. So you have, and you're already one rung ahead, so you have to go up one rung just to stay even with them. Can you go up two rungs while they go up two rungs to be able to keep that edge? And that's what they've wanted out of Beecher all season long. That's what they've, you know, had him go down in the minors and work on that and finding that. And you hope that he's learned all of that and can process that and take it to another. Lauko played well in the playoffs, played his seven games last year. He's got to understand that he has to bring it to another level on Monday night. So they did a great job in game one. Let's see that those younger guys really carry it and do it again to another level on Monday night.
I think it was nice too to kind of have our question, or if there were any questions, answered about Maroon's health, right? Because he had that back surgery. He was out for more than like 2.5 months just about. And he had only played in two regular season games for the Bruins. And both of those, you know, were kind of like a slow reintroduction into playing. And then all of a sudden you come see him in game one and it's like, okay, he's not afraid to make these high impact hits. He seems to be playing completely the way that he's played in the past in playoffs, where he's physical, he's setting the tone, and I felt like we saw that his health is back to where it needs to be. And it answers a question that we had for the fourth line, which is, was he going to be able to be a regular in the lineup? And you already saw his importance in game one.
Yeah, for sure. And he's obviously done, and he's played 151 career playoff games, won 3 Stanley Cups. Like, he knows what it takes. He knows how you have to play in general this time of year, but specifically how he has to play. His game is relatively simple, so it's not like he's, you know, it's not Pastor not coming back where you're like, oh, there's so much of it. It's timing and feel for the puck and his hands and all that. Like, Maroon's pretty straightforward.
And he's playing with two guys that don't have playoff experience. Like, he's playing with guys that he's very verbal with on the bench. Like, he's able to kind of get those guys under the right mindset to handle the momentum shifts.
Yeah, and Montgomery highlighted that after the game. He said, like, Maroon does a great job on the bench, not just going over, like, what just happened, but getting his line ready for the next shift. Like, here's what we're going to go out and do. All right, we got a couple calls up, but we do have to take our last break here. So we'll be back right after this to wrap up Sunday Skate and a little look ahead to game two.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. Let's go to Mark in Medford here, our last call on the board, final segment of Sunday Skate. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Razor, I got a question for you. The comment that Jim Montgomery made after the game last night about it's going to be hard to go away from Sway after the way he played last night, was that just to get into Toronto's head? Because I believe they're sticking with the plan. And with that being said, if you watch the post-game show last night on TBS, even Henrik Lundqvist was asked a question about goalies and decisions made by coaches. And even he said that during the season, it's usually between just the coaches and the goalies. He says most of the time, the whole team doesn't know.
That is correct. Certainly, I would be very surprised if anybody other than the goalies know what's going on. And to be honest, players could care less. They don't, most of the time, they don't even know what goalie's in net for them. They'll just play the game. They have no idea who's in net. We kind of talked about the Monty comment. I did the beginning of it. I thought, oh, this is misdirection and Allmark's playing. And then when he brought Allmark up at the end of that comment, it kind of just made it more cloudy. So I don't disagree that, I certainly agree in that there's a bunch of misdirection going on. We're going to hear a lot of it today. We're going to hear a ton of it today from both coaches, from both sides. So just enjoy it. Take it as entertainment. Make an opinion off of it, but don't hold these guys to it.
That's interesting. So I look at it and, like, the goalie rotation in the playoffs would be so unique that, like, I've wondered, you know, do guys on the team care about that? Like, talk about that? You think they just straight up, like, don't really care who the goalie is?
So, no, I don't think so. But I'll give you a story, a little bit of a story that I was told yesterday about way back in the day where one of the older guys was talking about he was on a team once and I swear this happened and I didn't encourage this conversation last night because this, like, forms my, you know, argument better. Just, I got to preface that. I know we're running out of time. This player who used to play won Stanley Cups, talked to me about the goalie we were talking about. And he's like, this happened one time where the coach came to me and asked me, who should we rotate? Because the GM wanted to rotate. The coach didn't really want to rotate, but he kind of had to listen to the GM. And the player said, absolutely not. We're not what are you talking about? We play the guy who wins games. So to that point, and this is I wasn't going to bring it up, but it does to the question, to the players knowing usually that doesn't happen. Usually the players aren't involved in that. The players don't want to be involved. They don't want to have that conversation. They just want to let the goalies do their thing.
Razor's on TV right now.
Yeah.
The classic.
My mom saw that the other day. She was very happy.
The classic Zamboni over the bridge.
It's back, yeah. So no, typically the players want nothing to do with it. And there's, I swear to God, there's guys that don't know who's actually in net. Like, they can't tell from the equipment and, you know, only see the names on the board.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like you can't be asking the players their opinion. Like, I wouldn't even be asking Swayman or Ullmark their opinion. Like, to me, that conversation is Montgomery, goalie coach Bob Asenza, Don Sweeney's probably involved to some level. And, like, outside of that, it's like they make the decision. Then you go tell Ullmark and Swayman this is the decision.
There's no democracy. It's dictatorship. That's the only way it works. If you're having conversations about opinions, then you've already lost everybody. Yeah. And that's as a player. Like, if a coach came to me and is like, hey, what do you think? Do you want to play? Like, I would have a heart attack and know that we're sunk. You need the guy to come and tell you what you're doing.
Yeah, and last year it felt like there was a degree of asking Ullmark whether or not he was, you know, they're asking him, was he healthy enough to go? And most guys are going to say yes. So you got to make your own evaluation on stuff. I mean, obviously you want to, he knows his body best, but guys are just such competitors that you got to take most of the decision-making to
Except
yourself.
Except for Nylander.
So, jeez, I still can't believe that.
So along the same lines of trying to get into the player's mind. Okay. So Swayman just had a terrific game one. He also knows they've been rotating all season, right? He was on the wrong side of this last year where he was the guy who didn't get to play. If they go to Ullmark in game two, what does Swayman think? Like, obviously he would rather start, but would he accept it, you know? Or, like, is he going to be upset if he has that game one and then game two goes to Ullmark?
It's all about the communication and what the plan was, right? So that's it. Like, we've gone over this a bunch. He's completely fine if he knows what was going on. But if he was told something was going to happen and then that got flipped after winning 5-1, then you have, you know, then you'll be a little annoyed. But there's really, you're not allowed to be annoyed this time of year either. You're just not. Personal differences get put away at this time of year. So you got to just do it. But they've communicated. They have the plan. They've talked about it. So they know who's playing.
We didn't get to our Taylor Swift album review, so.
When did it come out?
Came out Friday.
Well, Thursday at night at midnight.
Well, I haven't heard much about it.
It's not good.
Is that why I haven't heard much about it? Okay.
I think there's
so so it was peak Taylor Swift this summer. It's over, right?
Like, no.
It's gonna start doing
it's
this.
It's still gonna
be
huge.
No, it'll be huge, but I'm saying not to the same extent. Is that fair?
I couldn't get behind a lot of it, to be honest with you. Sometimes it grows on me after I listen to it.
Was
but
there Travis Kelce stuff?
There's only one song.
I think there's only one. Yeah, it was other past exes.
It was very like sad girl music, and that's not my vibe.
So. In addition to covering the Bruins, I'm also editor of WI.com. Taylor Swift needs an editor. There's a good album. She released like two albums. There's a good album in there somewhere. There's just too much. Okay. It's too much.
There's 31 songs.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's like the old Smashing Pumpkins. Now I'm really dating myself. Remember like the double album Smashing Pumpkins? That was like bananas.
Melancholy
and
the Infinite Sadness.
Absolutely.
It just kind of felt like some of these songs were more for her. Than for us. It was like, just get it off your chest. And
selfish.
I, you know what? I like Taylor Swift,
all right.
But.
Game two. What do we got? Game two. Who plays? How they play? What do we got? What's your prediction for game two?
Ullmark plays. Bruins win. Okay. Up 2-0.
Okay.
I think that, I know I said I want Swayman, which is true. I do think they play Ullmark because I think they already predetermined
And
it.
Do they play well?
Yes.
Do the Leafs play better?
Oh, absolutely.
Leafs play better,
it's
going to
be like, it's like a 2-1 game instead.
Okay.
What do you think?
I agree. I think it's going to be a little high scoring. I think we got like a 4-3 game. Bruins show adversity and find a way to win again.
Ullmark, Swayman?
So.
All right, we got, what, 15 Lions coming up? Is that who's on next? And then Red Sox baseball later. The Celtics game won today. There's Panthers Lightning and Rangers. Four NHL games today. Just great, great day of sports. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. after game four.
Correct.
We'll talk to you then.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.